Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Podcasting since 2005. You were listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 540. This is your host Danny, aka Godfrey, and joining us this week we have Pete Rock. Pete,
what up?
What up?
What's up, man?
You're back. You know, this week, this episode is all about fan mail. Are you excited? I can't hear you, but okay. Boston J is also in the house. Patrick, what's up?
Hey guys, how is everything doing this week?
Good. No Paris. I think it's gonna be.
Yeah, man, got a drought going on. When are we gonna get him back on here?
I don't know. I think he's out there eating Popeyes or Roscoe's.
God, talking about food, you're killing me.
Why do this?
Oh man.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You
Why
know.
Do this, Spider-Man.
Oh god.
Is this a Spider-Man thread?
Head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, and also share with your friends, or head over to play.it/gamertag. Listen to the show there, or if you have iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher, you can also follow us there. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Give us a call, 76273-7GTR, that's 76273-7GTR, or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Very quick, before I start reading these fan mail questions, I'm going to be in Tampa on February 25th, and I'm going to be opening the keynote for their conference. I'm excited about that. And the cool thing about this is that day, Gamertag Radio is turning 11 years old. That is insane. I can't believe I'm doing this already for 11 years. So, you know, for those that would like to check out and learn more about the event, head over to podfest.us. Or if you're in the Tampa area, hit me up. We'll probably do like a little meetup in the Tampa area. So just hit me up. I'm excited about that. So P, are you ready for fan mail this week? You ready?
Oh, God, I ruined it.
No, it's coming. It's coming. All right, here goes. You ready? Prepared?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, here goes. And now it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
There you go. Pete, it's excited.
Woo!
Boston, there's been a crazy controversy, man, on the things that you said last week. I'm going to read this.
I can imagine. Yeah,
this is not an email. This is from Twitter. So I'm going to read this very – I'm going to read one tweet. I'm not going to read the whole thing.
All right.
This is from Craig. Basically, his name is on Twitter is Mr. Boomstick XL. He wrote, "Holy effing ish. My ears just fell off listening to episode 538. Is Pawson J out of his mind with the Xbox One is in trouble? WTF. Very quick. Make it short, Patrick.
I think Xbox was a brand that always prided itself on being the superior hardware, and that was their advantage the last two console generations before we've gotten to this one. I think the introduction, the message, certainly did not help. Introduction of Xbox One, they have recovered greatly. It is a fun system. I'm worried about a couple years down the road. I think a new Xbox is needed sooner rather than later if they want to stay relevant, because I feel like it's going to keep turning in Sony's favor the more and more people keep buying PS4s. I think new hardware from Xbox would counter that. I know I'm in the minority there, but I still love Xbox enough to potentially get an Xbox in the future. But right now, the PC has taken up that mantle, and I don't see anything replacing that. So for me, that's my issue.
Pause there. Pete, I know this is the second email from Phoenix. Ooh, you would like to read that?
He came out spitting fire. Listening to the latest episode of GTR, great show as usual. However, Pawson, you did come off a bit elitist as far as your comments regarding E3 and EA. Is that the one you were talking about?
That's the one. That's the one. Keep on.
Okay. Publishers do not need podcasters to come to their events anymore. Twitch streamers are going the way of the future.
I disagree with that part, but
it
keep on.
Thank you for letting me read this. It is a blessing that you guys get to go to events and play games before anyone else, and you come off extremely ungrateful as if everyone who doesn't have a media badge is below standard. I have nothing but love for all of you, but I'm giving you honest feedback as how you came across. Keep up the great work because you all do a great job. Phoenix."
Wow. Pawson, Pawson's getting hate lately.
Demonized. I'm not sure what Mark is trying to clarify here. I mean, I agree that I don't feel entitled about going to these events, and I don't feel like I'm threatened by YouTubers or Twitch streamers. I think the point we were trying to make was it's probably not worth it to go to all the effort to go to these larger events. I'm not quite sure what Mark meant by this email. He'll have to get back to me on this one off there, talk about this next week.
You might need to be on an episode of the Phoenix Project. I'm just saying.
Yeah, really. I need to go on.
Or we bring him on.
Mark, hit me up. I'd love to be on your show.
Yeah, I think that the conversation we had last week was more about, is E3 dying? Because honestly, to me, if they don't have this open to the public, yes, the media is going to have their days, and the media is going to have their thing, doing their thing, like, you know, interviewing their different video game companies. They're going to be checking out these games. But I feel that right now things are changing with the whole YouTube and live stream and podcasts and blogging. There are not mainstream companies. I feel that they need to make this public, at least make the last day or the two last days open to the public. Why not? I feel that it's very important if they want E3 to grow even more, or if they want this industry to grow too. Am I right or am I wrong?
I think I'll meet you halfway. I think it's probably smart to continue what EA is doing in terms of having an offsite event for people already in the area. I don't know if they have the infrastructure, the money, the time, or the manpower to open up E3 to the public even for 1 or 2 days. I'm not even sure the logistics of that. I'd leave that to them. I would say what they've done in the past is great, where they have tournaments at E3. So, you know, people were at the Smash Brothers tournament the other year. You know, they were there for other events, you know, basically correlated around E3. I think that's probably the better way to go, because it's adding more people to E3 is just only going to make it either unpleasant for the people, you know, there to either, you know, be press or media, podcasting, YouTube, or Twitchers, and people whose first time experiences, oh man, I'm finally at E3. Wow, look at all these people. Man, look at all these lines. Oh God, maybe I hyped this up too much in my own head. I'm just worried people are going to have that negative reaction. I think having the offsite events like what EA is doing, or, you know, having integral events like tournaments that people can come to either to participate in or from the public is a better way to handle that. I just don't think the LA Convention Center could handle that additional mass, even if they are open for an extra day. But again, I would have to defer that to the logistical team that has to play in all this every year. I do not envy their job.
Okay. We have another email. Anybody would like to read an email?
Yeah, we wanted to talk to Brian here, sent in an email talking about how come we haven't seen a TMNT style, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle style MMO. The create a character would be awesome using mutagen and tons of animals to make mutants. I can see it on Xbox. Why not on PC or PlayStation? Competing with DC Universe. Two factions using Splinter and Shredder and your classic good versus evil. What do you guys think?
Holy crap. I really like this.
I like this idea, but it's how are you going to compare TMT, the Ninja Turtles with the whole DC Universe? There's way more characters with DC Universe. So that one, it works.
Concept of you making your own character and then you align yourself with different factions, like what DC Universe does. It's like, do I want to side with the Justice League? Do I want to side with the Legion of Doom? Like, that makes sense. I understand where he's going with this.
And you create your own versions of Rocksteady and Bebop.
You can be your own customizable. And this is smart. This is a combination of Spore and, you know, a better game with actual gameplay to it. I mean, I like this idea.
Now,
I'll be honest with you.
My only counter to that would be the new game that just came out that actually looks pretty good.
Oh, Platinum's?
Yeah, Platinum Games has a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game that's coming out. Not gonna lie, that looks hot. And Platinum Games knows how to do those type of games.
That's true.
Totally agree.
Woo! Hey, so if there's any PR marketing people, we want to check it out. I'm really, really looking forward to that game. So, you know.
Yeah, it looks tight. It looks really, really tight. I don't know. I'm excited for that, man.
This is a good idea, Brian. I recommend tweeting this. It's at least like maybe some developer somewhere be like, you know what, that's it.
Yeah, hashtag TMNTMMO. There you go. Hashtag TMNTMMO.
I'm down with that.
All right, so we have another one too. First-time listener, you want to read that? Anyone would like to read that?
All right, this is from, I'm going to ruin this, Rob Pelwincon, and if I said that, give me props, please. AKA The Amusing Ciderman on, and that's Ciderman, that's pretty slick. That's his Twitter handle.
Very slick.
He doesn't usually listen to podcasts as life tends to get a little too busy, but he always uses Spotify for entertainment. And that's how he found out about us, props while he catches up on all his shows. What did you guys who have played the game think of The Division's Time to Kill, which there's, I think, a second question that somebody asked about the Time to Kill. Yes. Has it changed over the beta period? I played a build at EGX and it was the overriding negative takeaway I had from the experience. I think I'll tackle that first.
Okay.
I think the issue with The Division, and a lot of people are seeing this, is that they see it as a shooter with MMO tendencies, where in fact it's an MMO with shooter tendencies. And that being the reason, everybody's expecting a Rainbow Six or a Ghost Recon or a Destiny where everything is focused on shooting, but that's not the primary focus of the game. It's got elements of being a shooter. And the marketing, of course, because shooters are, you know, the de facto most popular games these days, they're using that as their marketing tool to push it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where The Division switches it up, where it's an MMO. It uses the RNGesus. Enemies are bullet sponges, just as in most MMOs where you're just, you just got to throw weapons, whether it's an arrow or bullets or magic or whatever, until the end, until the enemy's dead. And I think that is the difference. And I think once you understand that, which is strange for someone like me to accept and appreciate, because I'm, the lowbrow, der guy who's like, just give me bullets and I'll throw them at the screen. And and I'm actually, thanks probably to Diablo from last year, Diablo 3, where now I'm starting to say, okay, well, maybe it's not all about the shooter. Let's see what else there can do. And that did that natural progression from, Diablo 3 to... Why are all my favorite games now with the D?
I know, right?
Diablo 3, Destiny, games. Now it's The Division. Jesus, God help me.
God.
All right, so his second question, we'll make it quick. Why you know likey Bloodborne? Most of the reasons you guys gave for putting Witcher 3 as game of the year were the same reasons I loved Bloodborne. And to the guy who gave it honorable mention, give me a yell, man. I think that was Poston.
Yes. Shout out, Rob.
That game
I'm
is
very
now,
in shock because that, Poston really liked this game.
I really liked that game. It's my own fault. It's kind of like what happened with Metal Gear last year. Why I didn't make my list is I couldn't beat them. Bloodborne, because I got stuck in an area I wasn't supposed to be in yet, and now I have to skillfully fight my way out, and I just don't have that technical skill yet in the game to get myself stuck out of my hole. But regardless, that gameplay up until that point was some of the best times I've ever played on a game like that. I mean, the PvP of that game is brilliant. The concept of just, you know, like, it's the MMO mentality of fighting another dude in the world, and you just go at it, and you fight to the death, and the winner just feels that victory. I mean, very satisfying game. Great combat, great setting, beautiful music, beautiful, you know, concept design for the characters, the bosses. It's a great game. I need to go back to it. I'm ashamed. I'm so bad at it. That's my excuse. But yeah, I do feel like it did not get nearly as much attention because it came out all the way back in February, and so many games came out between then and now. Yeah, that's the nature of the holiday release centered game industry. It's sad, but it was a byproduct of that.
Hey, great game, The Witcher came out early, too.
May, though. So a little bit more closer to the E3 being like, oh, man, it's summer, yeah. So, and that game also had a longer hype buildup over 2.5 years. I don't think Bloodborne really mirrored that as much. Certainly Dark Souls fans were very excited for Bloodborne, but a lot of people like me went in blind and like, I don't know what this is. I don't have experience with past games, and holy crap, is this game hard. Yeah. But okay. It's very satisfying when you get good at it. So, yeah, shout out Rob. I like Bloodborne, too.
Rob said that he will help you out.
Yeah, oh, trust me. Yeah, I probably could use co-op help. No doubt. You guys want to help me get out of this stupid nightmare of Mensis that I'm in? That's what it's called. That would be great. Hit me up on Twitter. We'll talk.
Okay. All right. So, guys, we're going to take a short break. And once we come back, we have a couple more questions. And then my interview with Todd Van Lonlin. He works at Huffington Post. And we talked about Michael Jackson, that he worked on the Sonic 3 soundtrack.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, newsflash. Valentine's Day is this weekend. It's only days away to get your loved one a gift from Pro Flowers. And if you're tired of making decisions what he or she might want on Valentine's Day, let the pros at Pro Flowers take the guesswork out of it, and you get all the glory. So ProFlowers is offering our listeners 2 dozen assorted roses plus a free glass vase for just $29.99. And if you want, you can upgrade to long stem roses with a cherry red vase and chocolates for just $9.99 more. All you need to do is go to ProFlowers.com and use the code GTR at checkout. Don't wait until the last minute. Don't wait until this weekend when it's too late. Send them now. Send them this week. ProFlowers is quick, easy, and delivery for Valentine's Day is guaranteed. They're also guaranteed to last 7 days or your money back. It's a no-brainer. You can't beat the price or convenience. There's only one way to get this amazing Valentine's Day deal. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right corner, and type in the code GTR. That's proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone and type in the code GTR. Don't wait. Order today. This deal expires this Friday at midnight.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we have a couple more questions here. Which one should we read, Pete? Let's see.
Yeah, this is probably, all right, this is from Carl Bird Jr. Thanks for, you know, writing in.
He's from Baltimore.
From Baltimore. So I wonder if he knows Mark.
Yeah.
So and this is actually a really good question for Poston, because he's the Twitch stick guy. Why is Street Fighter V considered a good third party exclusive? It seems like just another cynical business deal to me. And why aren't there any Street Fighter games planned for Xbox?
It's a fair accusation. I can certainly understand that if I was on the other side of the fence and didn't have a PS4 or a PC yet and was like, oh, crap, I have to play Street Fighter V. Do I buy a PlayStation 4? Do I go build a PC? I mean, that would be an actual dilemma for me. Thankfully, I'm a hardcore gamer, so I already got all this crap at launch and done with it. But for in terms of a third-party exclusive, I think it works in Sony's favor, and it's strong because the name power of Street Fighter means so much, and because how much Street Fighter 4 did for the competitive fighting game scene, which was really almost in its death throes by 2009, by the time the Street Fighter 4 came out and kicked it into the next gear. And it really, I mean, that game did a lot to push esports forward into the mainstream before we started getting the League of Legends and the other things, the Heroes of the Storm, the Dota, started to take up the main stage as well. So I think Street Fighter has the drawing power of bringing in both casual fans, the hardcore and the competitive, and a lot of games can't pull that off. So while I feel like a lot of people that are already excited about Street Fighter would have gotten a PS4 in advance anyways, this is a good selling tactic for Sony, because I feel like if Street Fighter 5 had came out on Xbox as well, I almost feel like sales would not have been as critical as they are going to be now, just because it'd be like, oh, another Street Fighter is out. Yay. Because a lot of people get in this mentality of, oh, I don't like Street Fighter because they always come out with this new super turbo hyper ultimate edition every single year, and it pisses me off. I can understand that. I went through all of that with 4. The thing about 5 is, 5 isn't doing that. And a lot of people don't seem to be getting this marketing message. 5 will just be one game, $60. You get your 16 characters at launch. Then the DLC characters come out, and you can pick and choose which ones you want to add to your experience, and there will never be another version of the game. And all future game modes, like tournament modes and other things like that, will be added for free to download. So I think their marketing plan is solid. I think going with the Sony-only launch is going to help them push the PlayStation 4 units. I do feel bad for Xbox One owners out there who want to play Street Fighter. I know dropping at 400 bones is not worth it to them for Street Fighter 5. I totally understand that. But I think for people who still have been sitting out, and maybe even people who have still been playing nothing but Street Fighter 4 on last generation consoles, have not made that switch yet, this is a pretty big push in one direction. And I, for me, the biggest thing is the fact that, you know, I'm not being burned because I'm buying my Complay on PC. We talked about this in advance, but the fact that there will be crossplay between Street Fighter 5 on PlayStation and PC. So it doesn't matter what platform you pick, you can still play with your buddies. And adding Microsoft to that equation, that would not have happened, because Xbox Live refuses to cooperate with any other service. That's all Microsoft is. That's all they'll always will be. Yep. I think that would have been a negative thing on Capcom, because people would have bought it and been like, oh, cool, you know, PS4 and PC can play together. I automatically assume that Xbox can play with PlayStation. And then you're wrong, and then you're mad, and then you want your money back for whatever reason. So I think it just adds extra negative PR that would not work well with Sony's message of being like, look, this is Street Fighter 5. You want the best version, you know, you've got to get it on PlayStation. But even if you get it on PlayStation, you can still play with your PC buddies and vice versa. It's a great idea. It's going to work brilliantly for them. I'm very excited for the game this month. But again, I can understand his point of view too. I would be pissed if I was not a PlayStation gamer and had to buy a PS4 just for Street Fighter 5. But I think overall, it's going to work very well for them this year.
But they have to understand too that Sony also invested on... Like, they basically helped Capcom.
They fund the development of this game.
They funded, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, people can't be mad at that, because Microsoft have done that in the past many times.
Yeah.
You know, especially with the most recent Tomb Raider game, they also funded for this game, for Tomb Raider to come out for the Xbox One. And now it got released for the PC. And yeah, it all depends on the deal. Later this year, it's going to come out for PlayStation 4. But I read somewhere that they asked the developers of Capcom, is this game is going to come out for the Xbox One? They said, no, it's not coming out. So you have a choice. The closest, if you don't have a PlayStation 4 and you have a PC, then you could probably get it for the PC version. Or, or get the PlayStation 4. It all depends on you.
Killer Instinct is still just as strong of a game as it was at launch. You still have a fighting alternative on Xbox, and you're still going to get the new Tekken. You're going to get the new Dead or Alive, the new Soul Calibur. They're still going to make these games. You're just not going to get Street Fighter. And that comes down to, like, to you, how important is Street Fighter to you? For me, I would buy a console for it, but luckily I don't have to. To a lot of people, I know that is absurd. I totally understand. The same reason I buy a $150 arcade stick to play just fighting games. I mean, that's how serious I am about fighting games. And a lot of people would laugh at the idea of spending that much money on one peripheral. But that's just the way it is if you are into something that much, like I am for Street Fighter. And that's perfectly fine, because there's all... I mean, the great thing is fighting games now are as great as they've ever been. and everybody is competing with each other to be the best. So I mean, like, you know, the feud that Ono-san and Harada-san have, the two creators of Tekken and Street Fighter, their feud back and forth has been famous because it's pushed them to make better games out of each other. And we're getting a Tekken 7 much quicker than we normally should have, because Harada feels like, oh, if Ono is putting out Street Fighter 5, I got to put out Tekken 7. We got to keep our rivalry going. That's great for gamers. Everybody wins at that point.
Exactly. Well, Possum, we have one more email before we go to the interview. You want to read that? The one that says The Division? I think this is perfect for Pete Rock.
Okay, yeah. This one's from Alan. Shout out to Alan. It says, hey,
Alan!
Guys. Been playing Division Beta, and I thought I'd share an experience. He says, I was in the Dark Zone for the first time. I had taken out some enemy AI, and for the first time acquired some Dark Zone loot. Overjoyed and panicking, I ran with haste to the nearest extraction point, called it in, and wait. With about 45 seconds left, I was attacked by someone up high. Not seeing where the bullets were coming from, I feared I was about to die and lose my stuff. Then two players came and started firing at the guy and taking him out while I was extracting my loot. I was a bit surprised, because in that setting, people will get targeted there for loot, but it was cool to see a couple of players nice enough to come and help me out in that situation. Love the game, though, and needless to say, I am amped for its release. Appreciate the email, Alan. I agree. I love those small moments you have in these MMO type games where you have that social connection with a person you've never met before and haven't even spoken to or talked to yet. It's that same thing that the phenomenon that DayZ had for a long time before it turned into a grief simulator, is that whole concept of, like, how do you trust virtual people with your life and your goods on the line? Can you trust the person next to you? And the games that push that dialogue and that concept, I love that. That's kind of the biggest thing I'm kind of excited about The Division, is this whole concept of being in a large, dangerous world like that and how we're going to interact with each other. So hearing things like that from Alan, that's really cool. It gets me excited. And I can understand why Pete's excited about the game as well, because I still haven't actually played the game yet. So hopefully when the open beta rolls around later this month, I can finally get into and put hands on to it. But I love stories like that where you have that really cool interaction with somebody you never met before online. It's one of the reasons play MMO type games.
Same here, Pete. I mean, your experience so far with playing the closed beta, have you had like similar experiences like this, like Alan?
I've had those. I mean, that's one of the attractions of The Division, especially in the Dark Zone, because when you're doing what I guess I the Light Zone, the regular city PvE experience, it's cut and dry. It's kind of cookie cutter. You're going up against AI and NPCs, and you can have random people that are in your instance running down. They can't shoot at you or kill you, but they can join you into a battle. You can have drop in, drop out people, your co-op experiences against non-humans. But the attraction of The Division for me is that anxiety, the stress, the nervousness of what's going to happen when I'm either A, by myself, or I've got a pack of friends and I'm trying to extract, loot that I just got. And then this goes back to my, to the earlier talk about The Division, where it's an MMO. If you're expecting to always get an amazing gun, go play Borderlands. If this is the RNGesus factor all over again, and everybody experienced this through The Division and they didn't like it because it was most of the time people in a shooter mentality going into an MMO type game where you've got the loot factor managed by something else, and it's not always going to be a high powered gun or an excellent mod. It's going to be boots. It's going to be a pair of, it's going to be a side holster that might modify your ability to use your sidearm, or something that's going to give you more armor or increase your health. That's the difference. Those experiences, if you've got a full pack of four and everybody can come up and extract yourself at the extract your loot at the same time, helicopter takes off, boom, peace out, done. You've got your gear. But if it's just you and it's just one or two people, and then those random people start showing up, my recommendation, if they don't have a yellow pack on their back, take off.
That's
take off
running, because more often than not, it's a random coming in and you never know what's going to happen. If you really think, and if that piece of loot, and you know what you have, they don't know what you have, but you know what you have. If that thing is that important to you that you think you need to extract it now versus later, go ahead. Just dip. Okay. The other thing though is when you go in, cause I had both experiences. I had experiences where I went up and, you know, there was mobs. At one point there was a mob of 7 high level people in the dark zone, just killing random people, full on manhunt status. Manhunt, for those that don't know, is when you are level 5 rogue, which, I mean, all you've done is kill online players. And like, you've got a red line in the game that marks you, you know, where you're at. Like, if somebody comes in and they see a red line in the screen, they can follow that red line right to you. There's a, you know, you're marked on the map. They can follow you. They can see you. They know where you're at all times. And there's a high price on your head. There's a 2000.
Sounds like GTA Online.
It's like a $2,000 or 2000 Dark Zone bucks bonus for killing you if you're at manhunt status. And you get that 2 or 3 times, and you can get some of the top guns in at least in the beta. You could get I think it was the Caduceus, which was, you know, the highest FPS gain, the highest available FPS gun, or highest DPS gun, sorry, that you could get in the game, and it was a beast. But then there was moments where I would jump in with a group of my friends. You know, shout out to, you know, my normal guys, Brian, Khalif and Stubby over at Spawn On Me, but we would jump in, and then it was us, and then there we'd see a bunch of rogues, you know, running around, and then we would join up with a bunch of random people on the screen and start hunting them down. And so then it's the tide is turned, and it's from, you know, what used to be a 6-on-3 or 6-on-4 situation now is an 8-9-10-on-6 situation, or 9-10-on-4. And people, and now they're on the run. And as opposed to you always being on the run, trying to avoid bullets, you're the one chasing them. So those are the reasons why the attraction for the Division in a Dark Zone is so high. And that's the main reason why I'm such a fan and, you know, got a chubby for this game.
All right. So we're going to play the interview now with Todd Van Lullen. He works at the Huffington Post. Great conversation about Michael Jackson worked on the Sonic 3 soundtrack. Stay tuned for that. But we're going to take a short break, and once we come back, we're going to play the interview.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Gamers, there's so many games that's coming out this year, and we have all those times where we need a little extra money. Well, I have got a really easy way you could do it. Drive with Uber. Uber's a smartphone app that connects riders with drivers. So as a driver, it helps you to make extra money driving your own car, and it's totally flexible. You don't have to quit your day job to make more money, because Uber lets you make extra money on your schedule. Whenever you need extra money, just turn on the app and drive. A few hours here, a few hours there, it all adds up. And it's really easy to get started. First, go to drivewithuber.com to sign up for free. You could do it right now on your phone. Second, answer a few basic questions about you and your car, and then get approved. Third, start driving. That's all there is to it. I told you it was really, really easy. So Gamertag Radio listeners, start enjoying the flexibility of working when you want and earning extra money on your schedule. Sign up to Drive with Uber. Go to drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Once again, Drive with Uber. That's UBER.com.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so I have a special guest here. I have Todd Van Lullen. He's the writer for the Huffington Post. And last week, he posted a great piece about one of the biggest conspiracies that out there in gaming about Michael Jackson working Sonic 3 soundtrack. Very interesting piece, man. So well done. Todd, welcome to the show, man.
thank you for having me.
So what's up, man? For those that don't know about you, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I've been a writer with the Huffington Post for almost 3 years now. But before that, I just kind of coming out of freelancing and doing internships through college at places like BuzzFeed and FlavorWire. But I've always been kind of into sort of pop culture mysteries and just kind of internet conspiracies and that sort of thing. And so this was kind of this story was kind of a perfect marriage of the two. So I first came across this mystery on the Reddit Today I Learned page. I was kind of just going through the archives of that as the Reddit community, at least in the Today I Learned section, surfaces a lot of really like big pop culture mysteries like this one. And after seeing it there initially, I kind of started diving deep into the different forum posts and the different publications that had kind of done a stab on this. And it just seemed like the story needed a little bit more reporting and a little bit more just kind of investigation into the players involved. And so it seemed like there might be something if we looked into it a little bit more.
And now it's crazy. The game marks, I believe, 22 years since release back in 1994. And this is like the perfect timing that you released this piece, man. So are you a fan of Sonic games? Have you played them before? Or
yeah, I've tried to play them. I was very bad whenever I played it. My hand eye coordination is very slow, and so it's not the game designed for me. It was definitely one of the ones I remember playing it with some friends growing up, and I certainly was a fan of the character, if nothing else. It was certainly a big part of the 90s. Mm-hmm. But yeah, whenever I've tried, I tend to die pretty often. Yeah.
See, like I remember the first time I heard about this, it was a video that I found on YouTube. I can't remember how exactly I found it. Mm-hmm. And this was like a mystery to me. Like, man, is it true? It sounds very familiar. Like the both songs one of the songs from the end of the ending of Sonic 3, and also one of the songs from Michael Jackson. I can't remember the name of it exactly. It was like something Moscow, right?
Stranger in Moscow.
Moscow. So, I mean, how was it for you to do this? This research, because there was like a lot of people involved, and how long it took you to actually, you know, find like some facts about this, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, I first kind of started looking into this back in March of last year, and very early on I watched a couple of really great videos about the mystery. There was one that we mentioned in the piece back in 2006 that came out by the username Kujimbo, real name James Hansen. He kind of was the first one to break it to a wide audience. And in 2006, his video into the mystery got over 1 million views. The other one was more recently by Game Trailers. And they did a really good, they pieced it together in a very digestible way. And they brought in all the evidence to make a very compelling argument. But it seemed like what was necessary from all these reports was getting the credited composers to talk about what exactly they did and what they recalled about the events. And people had tried in the past, but for whatever reason, they wouldn't open up about it. And so why it took so long is it was definitely, we had to be very patient to kind of to convince these people to talk to us. But once a couple of them kind of opened up, then we started getting more and more pieces to it.
Because I remember reading that one of them did open up a couple years ago, but Sega, there was like no comment from Sega. I wonder why was that happening from them?
Well, Brad Buxer, who was the first credit on Sonic 3, he had opened up to a French magazine saying that he had worked with Jackson on the soundtrack. But he didn't really say much besides that. And it, the French magazine wasn't a very popular publication, and the interview was translated into English by these forums, and so it wasn't necessarily trustworthy what exactly was being said there. There wasn't a composer coming out saying, we definitely played the video games, and it, the cues or the soundtrack that they worked on definitely made it into the game. And so that's what we were trying to achieve with this article.
And I know there was two theories on why Michael Jackson's name was removed from the game. Can you tell us a little bit about that too?
I guess your last question ended with asking about why Sega didn't respond. But so that kind of goes into this next question. Is basically there's two sides. The Sega side, even though the Sega headquarters won't talk about it, we did get the project manager for Sonic 3 to talk about it, and he claims that as soon as the molestation allegations came up against Michael Jackson, that Sega did not want anything to do with his involvement. And whether it ended up being true or not, they just did not want that name on the game. And so they backed out. But the composers on Jackson's team we spoke to claimed that at the time, Sega was promising them that they would find a way to make the tracks they were creating not sound so bleepy bloopy and not sound like a typical Sega Genesis game soundtrack. But that didn't end up being the case. And so Michael Jackson wanted his name scrubbed from the project because he wasn't happy with how it was turning out sonically. Mm. Sonic, yeah.
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 Yeah, I know at that time, technology-wise, it wasn't like how it is now, you know. So I think on that side, I see that more of a reason why his name got removed. It's just like the timing was just bad, right?
The timeline. You talk to these people, and the allegations came out pretty much right as the game was finalizing, and so it seems as if it was probably a little bit of both.
How fun was it, man, to work on this, man, for almost a year?
Yeah. It was always kind of on the side. So it was never I would never work on it like all week at any point. It was always kind of doing it whenever I had a chance. But this is the kind of thing I love looking into. As I said, I'm very, very into just reporting out pop culture mysteries and trying to get to the bottom of them. And so I felt really lucky that HuffPost allowed me to spend so much time just interviewing countless people for this and just kind of getting to a point where it felt very conclusive.
Yeah. Was there any surprise, anything that surprised you while working on this?
I mean, going into it, I look into a lot of different stories like this, and a lot of times it just kind of dead ends, and it ends up what you thought was too good to be true ends up being too good to be true. It was really surprising when the composers started saying like the music definitely made it into the game. Like listening to that on the phone when that was being said, it was just it was like, oh my god, this seems like it might be real.
I know you were like, oh man, I got this. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's. I mean, have you heard anything from both camps, from the Michael Jackson camp or Sega about this after the article got released? Because this is like really going around,
right?
Especially in the video game industry and the video game community, it's just going around. Everybody's talking about this, you know. So
yeah, Obviously, before we went to publish, we tried to talk to Sega headquarters and the Michael Jackson estate, and both didn't want to comment. That's still been the case after we published. Roger said that Roger, who was the project manager on Sonic 3 that I mentioned before, he said that he was happy with how the piece turned out. But that's all we've gotten from that camp.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, man. I mean, congratulations, man. Cause this is a well written piece, and it was something that I had in my mind for years. I'm like, man, is this true or not? And finally, we have someone here that basically solved the mystery, man. So that's pretty cool, man. So for those that don't know, how can people could find this piece and read it too, man? Cause I think it's great. It's a great thing, man, for the community to read, man.
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate you shouting it out and the kind words about it. Yeah. Basically, probably the easiest way to find it would be to just Google Sonic Michael Jackson Huffington Post. Mm-hmm. It should be one of the... hopefully, it hasn't been buried on Google just yet. I can also be found on Twitter, which is just my name, Todd Van Luling, and it's one of my most recent tweets, or a few of the most recent tweets were certainly about this story, so that would be an easy way as well.
That's awesome, man. Well, I just want to say congrats, man, Todd, and thanks for coming on the show, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, cool, man. Thanks a lot, man.
Right, I'll talk to you soon.
Take care, man. Bye.
Bye.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, GTR, Patrick here, reminding you once again that Valentine's Day is right around the corner. And I gotta ask, have you gotten that perfect something for that special someone in your life yet? Well, if not, let me help you out with that. Check out Sherry's Berries. These are delicious, fresh, chocolate-covered strawberries delivered right to your door. And right now, they have a great deal going on. You can get 6 giant, ripe, fresh strawberries covered in white chocolate, milk chocolate, and dark chocolate delivered right to your door for only $19.99. That's 40% off what you'd usually pay for them. The best part is, too, is as a GTR listener, you get a special discount. If you want to double your order to a dozen, it's only $10 more. Just go to berries.com, berries.com, click on the microphone and type in the code GTR to automatically double your order for only $10 more. This is a great gift. It's memorable. It's bold. It's delicious. You're not going to get a better reaction out of anything else you pick up that special loved one in your life this year. Check out berries.com and enter the code GTR.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here. Shout out to Todd. Great, great conversation about Sonic 3. Can you believe it's been 22 years since that game came out? I feel old. I feel really, really old.
I was so bad at those games when I was young.
Really? Sonic is not that hard.
You went so fast that I couldn't control where I landed. I was
22?
Never good at platformers.
Poston, were you born yet?
No. I was born in 88, so yeah. I mean, I was.
Oh, he was?
I
okay.
played it. I said no.
I said no. I said no. Well, actually, Sonic 2 came out in 1994.
Really?
Yeah.
Sonic 3.
I mean, Sonic 3 came out in 1994. Look it up. Go for it.
He's right. February 2nd, 1994.
Thank you, Pawson. Pete. It's too old. He can't remember. That's the problem. By the way, I was online.
First game was 1991.
We're talking about Sonic 3. 91.
Yeah, so I'm talking about Sonic 3, which Michael Jackson supposedly... Well,
okay.
It worked on the soundtrack. All right, whatever. Anyways, like I was saying, I was online searching. You know, I went to Reddit, and somebody posted this link. Phantom Dust for the Xbox One? You could pre-order it now on Amazon? That's kind of weird. I could have sworn our last interview we had with Aaron Greenberg, not this one, the one at E3, I asked him about Phantom Dust. They were still looking for a developer to work on this game. So I think they already found one. Probably they just haven't announced anything about it. So that's kind of strange.
I wish them luck. I'd love for it to come back, but... I don't know if the clamor is there, like, you know, how people wanted Shenmue 3. I feel like it's still too niche of a release.
You can't compare Phantom Dust to, like,
I know. Shenmue. I'm just saying, like, you know,
it's very underground.
If they announce Phantom Menace is coming back, but we have to crowdfund. People will be like, I mean, some people will be like, yeah, take my money. But a lot of people will be like, Phantom Dust, wasn't that that game?
Nah, the cards. They don't need to crowdfund this. Nah, they don't need that.
I mean, I wish them luck. I wish it would come back. It was a really cool idea. It could definitely use some modern polish because that game's frame rate was atrocious.
My only concern with this is that it's using the artwork from the original game.
No. Pete. What's wrong with you? Amazon is using this as a backup. There's no cover. There's nothing announced.
Like, that's what I know. That's why. I
think this is just Amazon just posting the cover of that, but I think it's coming. It's coming. If Microsoft announces 2 years ago, they are going to release it. It's just going to be a different developer. Yes, they had someone else working on it, another company. But they're going to have another company work on this. Watch. Just give it some time. No? Yeah? Where?
No. No? Not happening.
No? Not happening? Okay.
Not happening.
I'm confident
unless Phil starts throwing microphones at the floor at E3.
Or Spring Showcase, which is happening this month.
My face would melt. That's all I can say. I would be literally shocked, but that would be cool. I'm not dissing on the game at all. It's just that game's got a rough development cycle ahead of it.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Whoever ends up making it,
we'll see. All right, we're gonna wrap it up. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it. Listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or Spotify. Let us know if you're listening through there. And also, if you love fan mail, I love fan mail. That's my favorite thing to record during the week. If you love fan mail, please send us more questions, voicemails, whatever you want. Send us email, fanmail@gamertagradio.com, or give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. I know there's a lot of people that send us questions through Twitter and Facebook, but honestly, that will be the easiest way to contact us, through voicemail or email. All right. Also, one more thing before we wrap it up. CW this Monday, February 15th at 8 p.m. They teamed up with Machinima, and they're going to have like a Mortal Kombat X competition show for those that are into the whole esports. Make sure to check it out. And afterwards, they're going to have the DC Legends of Tomorrow. That's, I believe, 9 p.m. right after that episode. So once again, CW, Monday, February 15th at 8 p.m. Check out that show. It's all about the competition of Mortal Kombat X. Paulson, you're a huge fan of... Are you a fan of Mortal Kombat or no?
I respect it. I just don't find it that fun, to be honest. I like watching other people playing it. Certainly people playing it at a high level. But whenever I play it, it's just like, you know, wail on them. They get stunned. Press start, go on your phone, look at the fatality, look at it again, try to put it in, mess up a button, they just fall over. I'm like, Mortal Kombat.
Basically, Paulson is not legit. He's not...
I'm a Street Fighter guy. You pick a camp and you stick with it. I'm a Street Fighter guy, personally.
All right, so for those that live here in South Florida, you could go to SFL TV. Make sure to tune in and shout to them for sending us this press release, all right? So we're going to wrap it up. Guys, anything else you wanted to say before we say goodbye to our listeners? Pete, you want to go first?
The Division. I'm out.
Okay, that's all you have to say. Paulson, Jay, anything else for you?
I just finished installing Unravel through EA Origins Access. So I'm going to play two levels of that right now when we start recording. So yeah, jealous.
That's a major, major tease because I don't have EA Access and I'm dying to play this
game. I'll definitely get back to y'all next week with some impressions on it, but I'm very looking forward to trying it out.
You're only going to be trying out two levels.
The first two levels is what it's saying. You can, if you have the EA Origin Access, they're starting this trial program, and Unravel is going to be the first one they're going to test out. So we'll see how we get.
If you don't have a PC, you could also try that out at EA Access too. It's the same thing. So that's about it. So stay tuned. We'll be back next week. So we out. Peace.
Peace.
Later.
See ya.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.